Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 279, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am here once again. Follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter and join the Facebook fan page, Crave Wrestling. Now, I've had plenty of conversations with this esteemed, legendary person off the air throughout the past couple of years. He's given me some really, really good advice in the field of journalism. Now, I'm so honored to have him on the show tonight. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the one, the only, Bill Apter. How are you tonight, sir? I do as well. I love pancakes, actually. Awesome. So we talked off the air today, and I wanted to bring you on the show tonight to for you to share your feelings about Brock Lesnar. Now, there's a lot of buzz going on with Brock Lesnar the past couple of weeks on the UFC side with light heavyweight champion John Jones, but on the WWE side, and we'll talk about more of the WWE side, just the reports and all the just all the buzz going on that this may be Lesnar's last stand. There's a lot of talk that a little bit after WrestleMania will be the end of Brock Lesnar. At that point of time, he would have been in the WWE for 6 years. It didn't seem like he's been there for a little over 5 years now. Just let the listeners know your overall thoughts on Brock Lesnar over the past 5 years.
Well, understand that where I'm coming from now is that it's called the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is. It's the wrestling business. And Brock Lesnar, my apologies to Paul, Brock Lesnar has been there for this amount of time because he translates into money.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone who doesn't translate into what we used to call box office, doesn't get the type of spot that someone like this has gotten for 5 years. You know, when you get some of the fans go like, oh, Lesnar's only part-time, oh, Lesnar's only this. I think if we had a steady diet of someone, even the quality of Brock Lesnar, week after week after week, it sort of loses the luster in a way.
Yeah.
He's become a special attraction that we want to see because we still, there's still a fear about this guy. We don't know what he's going to do when he comes out. We don't know when he's going to show up. So he's got that great factor going about him. So if he's going to leave WWE, which is a possibility, it's because he's run the course of this particular program.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that either a short time or a long time afterwards, if he can make money with them and they can make money with him, that he wouldn't come back. So the end of a run, I mean, let's take a great look at the end of a run of The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And people like this just back over and over again, take them back.
Absolutely.
I don't think if Brock Lesnar loses at SummerSlam, I don't think it's going to hurt Brock Lesnar making a comeback to the WWE. There's always going to be someone out there saying that they could have beaten Brock Lesnar
mm-hmm.
and that he can show up the next week.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something really interesting about part-timers, and that is a big criticism from this generation of wrestling fans, that part-timers get all of, you know, all of the action, all of the shine. But you've been in the business for decades, multiple decades. From a journalism standpoint, you've interviewed the best of the best, and you have seen just the evolution of professional wrestling. And the fact that just the baby faces and the heels, those things still matter in the pro wrestling business. When I think of part-time wrestlers, I think about, you know, I grew up in the 80s. I think about in the 80s, in the early 90s, when Hulk Hogan didn't have to, you know, wrestle every single week. Because that made...
he was not on spot shows.
Exactly. Attraction. Exactly.
Even though the guys in the dressing room are busting their butts every week and through the week doing the shows, when someone like a Brock Lesnar or even when Goldberg came back or when Sting was in, when these people come in, guys underneath, even though they're working all the time, they're making more money and becoming higher profile
right.
because of someone like a Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So let the listeners know what you're up to nowadays.
Oh, well, I'm still onewrestling.com and One Wrestling Video is my home. I'm also hosting a lot of conventions. I will be at the Tribute to the Legends convention at the Maryland Trent Championship Wrestling, hosting that on August 30th, so we'd love to see people there. And of course, I'm still, after almost 2 years, and I want to thank everybody who bought my book, is Wrestling Fix. I didn't know it was broke, and I'm still out there promoting the book and the audio book. So
nice.
If you haven't read it or listened to it, it's the story of my continuing 50 years in the business. And, you know, I've been... a couple of times a year going up to WWE and being the talking head on a lot of documentaries. So a wonderful release. Hello, man.
Wow, phenomenal, phenomenal, man. I've been in the business a fraction of what's you have been, and I've learned so much from you from our discussions off air and just the advice you've given me, and I appreciate it. Looking forward to more conversations that we're going to have in the future. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
and I appreciate you reaching out to me. And
yes.
And from WrestleZone.
Yes.
And then go to onewrestling.com. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate your time.
I was on IHOP right after this.
Sounds good. Pancakes it is.
All right.
Everybody.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for Bill Apter, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Apter, fantastic. I'm really, really excited and thankful for Bill Apter on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we are actually live right now on WrestleZone.com, Facebook Live. We got some SummerSlam trivia going on tonight, so I'm really excited about doing some SummerSlam trivia with the WrestleZone.com Facebook crowd. We're going to have a whole lot of fun tonight. Got a lot of headlines going on as well. Fight of the Week is going to be, we've been doing a review and grading of the SummerSlam pay-per-views. We started, you know, in 1989 and been going on ever since. Last week, we got cut off at 2005. So now this week, we're going to do 2006 to 2010. Just reviewing and grading each SummerSlam event. So we're going to have some fun. And we got some SummerSlam trivia going on, and that will occurring very, very soon to the Facebook Live crowd. We're going to have a lot of fun. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get to the headlines. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sting, without further ado, Sting, reported he was on Facebook Live recently. He stated that he is 58 years old. What's going on, Jose? Facebook Live, WrestleZone.com. Sting, so let us know your thoughts on Sting. He said on Facebook Live he is willing to have a role similar to Kurt Angle from a general manager standpoint, but he also said that he can wrestle, but he's choosing not to wrestle. Well, you know, and here's the thing with that, you know, with Sting, he's 58 years old. There's not a lot of people who at 58 years old, you know, should wrestle, period. Thankfully, Sting has still has a good look, still has a good body. He, you know, the face paint, you know, helps with his age. That really helps with his age. And you know, the thing is with Sting, he can wrestle at 58, but his paint and his character doesn't really show his age. So that helps out Sting to have those type of matches. Look good against Triple H. Look even better against Seth Rollins. He got even in better shape against Seth Rollins. Unfortunately for Sting, he got injured when during the Rollins match. But yeah, he definitely still has it. So you know, he said that he can, you know, he can compete. But he chooses not to. I don't blame the man at all. I mean, you know, he's 58 years old. He retired at the Hall of Fame of 2016. He was 57, you know, retiring at 57 years old is a very it's a great thing. better movement than Matt Hardy. We got a listener. We got a reader. WrestleZone. Matt Hardy has been getting a lot of criticism lately of being very, very slow, and Matt Hardy is about 15 years younger than Sting is, so that's not a really good path for Matt Hardy. 15 years younger than Sting is and moving quite slowly. So yeah, so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into our first SummerSlam question. We got some fun SummerSlam questions for tonight. Trivia SummerSlam. What was the main event? This is the first trivia RoboCop. Yeah. What was the main event of SummerSlam 1990? That's the first trivia question for the night. What was the main event for the first SummerSlam in 1990. So let us know your thoughts on that. Yes, the bump that Cena took was really, really interesting. If Hogan can keep wrestling, so can Sting. He looks a lot better than him. You know, that's the only thing. A lot of people didn't want Hogan to wrestle still, especially that match he had. Was it Bound for Glory against Sting? That was rough. So, yeah, we'll talk about the Cena bump here in a little bit. Trivia question on deck is, what was the main event of SummerSlam 1990? What was the main event of SummerSlam 1990? So, yeah, I mean, I would like to me, Sting's my all-time favorite wrestler. So, you know, from a from the standpoint of bias, from the standpoint of being biased, I would certainly want Sting to wrestle again. However, you know, I have to be understanding. I have to be reasonable when it comes to the career of Sting. He's 58 years old. He has a, you know, bad neck. I'm sure he's banged up from competing in the, you know, competing for 30 years. So there's not much I can say or do, you know, about wanting Sting to be a part of pro wrestling. I really don't want to see him in any type of, I don't really want to see him in a GM role, because Sting has that type of aura, and he's supposed to have that type of aura that requires him to be more mystique. He's, you know, a lot of times they compared Sting, you know, people compared Sting to The Undertaker. You know, WCW had Sting, and the WWE you have The Undertaker. They had that type of mystique, mysterious type of role. And if you make, you know, to me, if you make Sting a general manager, it's kind of like you're making you're kind of making Undertaker general. You definitely don't want that. I'm seeing SummerSlam 1990. This is all SummerSlam. Undertaker versus Rick Rude and Hulk Hogan. There you go. Good job. Kudos to Jose. That is correct. The main event was the Ultimate Warrior against Rick Rude. So that's awesome. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's join the co-host for tonight, Evan Tech Prout. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, brother. What's going on, guys? How y'all feeling?
Awesome. And we are live on Steelcase 1990, Dustin. That's correct. We are also live on WrestleZone.com doing some SummerSlam trivia. So we're having a fantastic time. What are your thoughts on Sting?
Yeah, you know, Sting is the GOAT for me and you. And I watched the video earlier today. You know, it was sad. You know, I was still holding on to faith in Sting and Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're definitely not going to get that anymore. But
no.
Sting said on Jimbo's show, I think a year or so ago, that he wanted to wrestle Taker. You know, yep. Since Taker is pretty much done, I guess Sting just felt like, well, I can't. He said, you know, I can't wrestle, I just don't want to. So
yeah,
Sting probably just felt like there's nobody else left to film and wrestle. But I would love definitely to see him on air. I mean, unless we all want to see Sting against Flair again for like the 899th time, which I don't think anybody is waiting to see that.
Nitro, the last Nitro in 2002.
Yeah, the last Nitro.
That's the last Flair and Sting match that I'm used to. I mean, you know, all the amazing Flair and Sting matches. That has left such a terrible taste in my mouth. The one that they had at Nitro, the final one, it was just real bad.
And this is the old man. You know a match is bad when you're a wrestler and you start wrestling with a T-shirt and you tuck it in your trunks. That's how you know your career is going down.
That was bad.
Flair had that Nitro shirt tucked into his trunks. I was like, that's it.
Right. Exactly. Man, kudos to the WrestleZone.com Facebook community. Got a slew of questions, got a slew of comments here. Let's just tackle a little bit of them right now before we get to the next trivia question or next headline. Do I think Taker's really done? Yes, Cole has been name dropping him on Raw. I think they're kind of opening the door to see if anything is left for Taker. They don't want a cemented type of he's done, because if there's a money match that's out there, I think that they'll leave Taker available for that. I hope not. This send off was absolutely fantastic. I was there to see the send off, and I certainly hope that we don't see that. We'll get to the Exploder, Sergio. We'll get to that. Who do I think is going to win the Fatal 4-Way? Stay tuned for that. We do the predictions here on the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, right before the actual pay per view. So we'll be doing predictions for that. All right. So the next question on deck, SummerSlam trivia, is who won the Intercontinental title against The Miz at SummerSlam 2014? Who won the Intercontinental Championship? And these are for all the people joining us on Facebook. Excuse me, right now. Everybody join us on Facebook. The question on deck right now is who won the Intercontinental title against The Miz at SummerSlam 2014? So, you know, those are for the trivia heads for SummerSlam. All right, so listen, speaking about Matt Hardy, we're talking about, good job, Charlie. Dolph Ziggler is the correct answer. Alicia, Dolph Ziggler, that is correct. Great job. Next trivia question. I wish Mark Henry could have got his send-off. I agree. Next question is, what was the main event? What was the very last match, the main event of SummerSlam 1995? The main event for SummerSlam 1995. That was probably the worst SummerSlam main event of all time.
Yes, it was.
In my opinion, it was really... really bad SummerSlam main event. So I don't think there's
that was horrible.
Yeah, there's not many to compare about how bad that was. All right, so speaking of Matt Hardy, so there's a lot of things going on right now with the broken and you know, there's reports that of course you can catch all this on WrestleZone.com. There's been reports of Anthem kind of picking the discussions back up. I transcribed an interview on WrestleZone as far as the Jeff Jarrett conference call, talking about just the intellectual property type of thing. Yes, Alicia. I'm sorry if I'm getting your name correct. But if you are going to say the correct answer, I'm going to say your name, because you deserve that type of credit. Diesel and King Mabel was the main event for SummerSlam 1995, and it was awfully bad. The Broken Matt, King Mabel, it was. Broken Matt versus King Mabel, that would have been very interesting. Broken Matt, so on Raw, we'll talk about Raw. So there was the type of with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, they've done this nostalgia run for 4 months now, and the problem with this is people don't really want to see the nostalgia Hardys. You know, the popularity of the Hardy Boys, the reason why they came back to the WWE and have so much stock behind them was because of the Broken Hardy, the Brother Nero.
Right.
And then the problem is when you have this nostalgia run, that's not what brought them to the table this time. That, you know, that, that's not what caused the Hardys to come back to the WWE, you know, just simply Matt and Jeff Hardy. So, you know, and you may, you know, we got a point here. Matt is pushing deletion more and more every week. You know, there's one of the things that, you know, we were seeing that. And then, of course, we saw the video of Matt Hardy, you know, saying that he's like woken Matt Hardy now.
Yeah, woken, right.
Awoken Matt Hardy. So it's, you know, they're doing all they can to get the loopholes around, you know, the broken character, which is smart because I think people are realizing, I think the WWE is realizing that people are kind of hip to the nostalgia. Hardy's getting stale. You know, we got some comments saying they got the biggest pop of the night back in June. And WWE doesn't want to do that, because they didn't create them. But here's the thing. This is one thing that I, from people I know in the WWE I've talked to, and just understanding Vince's mind from a fan's perspective, not even necessarily a journalist perspective, one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, the reason why he brought in Brock after being in court with them, bringing back the Ultimate Warrior after being in court with them, bringing back Hogan after being in court with them. So, you know, he's had some history of some people, but here's the thing. He understands where the money is, and the money is in the broken character. So the money's not necessarily in the nostalgia Hardys right now. The money is in the broken Hardys. That's what's going to draw people. That's what's really going to revive their character and really add to the tag team division instead of just seeing the Hardys wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, that's the selling point. That's why WWE had to bring them back in, is because popularity of the broken Hardys, obsolete, Brother Nero, Senior Benjamin, that's why they brought him in for WrestleMania. And now that no one went back and said, oh, we have to see the Hardys from 1999 or even 2000, 2001. No one wanted to see that. Us, they grew up with the Hardys when we remember them when they were jobbers in the mid-90s. No one said we want to see the Hardys again. Frozen nostalgia. No. It's all about the broken Hardys. And like you said, it's hopefully it have, at least you're seeing a lot of small tidbits of, you know, Matt Hardy doing his the way he speaks, he's doing his taunts, and it's mainly Matt. You really don't see Jeff do as much. And like I said, we'll talk about the Raw review later. You know, I'll talk about how much older and fatter the Hardys have got. But
Jeff still looks good, but Matt, man, oh Lord,
oh my gosh,
good old Matt.
I mean, Matt Hardy was gaining weight. You know, he was fat, and you know the whole version one. And that's all fine, but with Jeffrey Nero Hardy, anytime you can't take your shirt off in one, you know, one swoop, and you just got to rip it off, you can't get it on top of your head.
See, that's
you know.
That's because of all those bumps that he's taken, you know, over the past years, 20 years. I mean,
I'm just waiting.
Daredevil. Yeah, just all the bumps that he's taken.
We can ask all the fans that's listening live on WrestleZone and Facebook, trivia for you guys. Let us know the last time Jeff Hardy has cleared successfully a whole Swanton bomb. Because since he didn't gain that weight, he can't even. He just falls on top. I would hate to say this Swanton.
He
falls right on top of your stomach.
Yeah, he just dumps right on top. It's tough. Next trivia question. So we got a question. Didn't Matt said he paid for the whole deletion segment? So there, you know, there was some the tweet that Matt and Rebby kind of tweeted and retweeted each other was that there was some talks that he had with Anthem about the deletion. I mean, the broken character. Jared's not having it. Jared's like, you know, this is ours. This isn't totally Matt Hardy's thing because, you know, Jeremy Borash, you know, he was a part of it. And he's the current TNA or GFW Impact Anthem, whatever employee. Of course, you had Billy Corgan, and you know, you had Matt Conway, you know, those names
right. Had
something to do with the broken character, and they're no longer there. However, Jeremy Borash is there, so
yeah.
So that's the thing that's the biggest snag with the broken characters right now, is because
mm-hmm.
Borash had something to do with it, and he's still an employee, so that portion is still you know, impacts, and they, you know, they're not going to negotiate that, because of course they're like, why will we say have it and you're going to make a ton of money on our, you know, behalf? So that's basically their logic. Yeah. So, I mean, but at the same time, just stalemating the whole issue, you know, even if they get some type of cut, something that they can work around and through, you know, for us to get the broken characters, because these nostalgia Hardys, it was great to see them back live when we were at WrestleMania in Orlando. It was fantastic to see them live. But at the same time, I personally was saying, I'm hoping that we're just seeing them live, you know, this nostalgia pop for now, and we're going to get right rolling, you know, soon with the broken character. So, but we,
exactly.
You know, it's been 4 months, and we haven't had that yet, so.
We've lost it.
So here's the next trivia question. Who were the participants of the hair versus hair match, SummerSlam 1998? Who were the participants of the hair versus hair match, SummerSlam 1998? So now we're going to talk about Brock Lesnar. Once again, big shout out to Bill After for being on the show to give his take on Brock Lesnar earlier in the show. So there's lots of talk that him and John Bones Jones will be going at it. It's basically going to happen, unless something else occurs that they, one or both, says, I don't want to do this anymore. They both see the major money that entails, includes. It's a cash grab. It's just a gold mine right now, as far as just the popularity and the buzz. Meltzer said that it probably won't happen until next summer, basically about a year. Just about a year from now, it'll happen at that point in time. But you know, it's one of those things that I don't know if the buzz is going to be there, you know, almost a year from now. I definitely think. You know, with Brock Lesnar getting back into UFC shape, because he's not there. He's definitely not there now. But getting back into UFC shape, and it'll be interesting, because I'm sure he'll probably cut about 15 pounds. And even if he cut about 15 pounds, he'll still be about a good 280. And I think Jones is about 205 now. So even if he cuts down, you know, even if he cuts down 15 pounds, he'll still be about 75 pounds larger than John Jones. The speed and agility piece that Jones has, you know, a lot of people call him pound for pound the best UFC fighter out right now. I can't really dispute that, because I've seen him fight, and he's phenomenal in the octagon.
He's great.
Yeah, he is. It'll be really interesting to see how him and Brock Lesnar will be able to fight against each other, if that happens, and, you know, more of a super fight type of deal, because it won't be for no title. You know, it will just be super fight. Yeah, I mean, because...
I mean, Brock weighs about so much.
Yeah, even if he cuts weight, it'll be probably about 75 pounds by the time they're both in the octagon. If he cuts weight, it'll still be about 75 pounds. So that's a huge jump. I mean, McGregor was able to kind of teeter between weight divisions when he went against Nate Diaz. So But the divisions that McGregor was teetering with, it was close to each other. But you're talking about light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Heavyweight, you know, of course, that's a big jump.
Yeah, of course. Of course, on paper the divisions aren't different, because you can have a 260 heavy, you can have a 240 heavyweight and a 205 light heavyweight. That's only a 25-pound difference. But you know, Lesnar's, you know, he's teetering the super heavyweight, you know, stage of the heavyweight division, and it's just a big difference. But at the same time, the speed and agility that John Jones has definitely can be an advantage for him, and he may be, you know, Frank Mir did it, you know, he outweighed Frank Mir by a bunch, and the only thing Frank Mir did was he was able to grab him up and cinch him in and tap him out. Yeah, so with John Jones, he's a great striker. So you know, we'll see. You know, it is, if he is able to use agility to you know, to jab on Lesnar and just really, you know, get him real puffed up, his face real puffed up from a lot of quick jabs. You know, he can win on points. So it would be, I'm really interested to see the fight, and I think it's going to be a huge draw.
And you didn't think about this, if it's Bone Jones against Brock, and if Brock goes to UFC, then think next year it could be McGregor against Brock. You never know.
Yeah.
That'd definitely be a lot of money. I mean, McGregor's already going against Mayweather, and we already know how that is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the whole key is to get Brock's face red. Once his face starts turning red, that's
when
you got him.
Exactly. Jones will go up to 230, 235. See, that's the thing. We got some X-Pac and Jeff Jarrett is the correct answer. Good job. Mighty Mouse best pound for pound. I'm not sure about that. I think John Jones is. I got a comment. Jones will go up to 230, 235. So that means that he would have to gain. So he would have to gain about 25 pounds. 25 to 30 pounds. That's a lot of eating. A lot of. So like I said, you know, it is a super fight deal. Weight classes don't matter. I said that in the beginning. And you said, you know, Royce Gracie. There's another comment of Royce Gracie. That's the first person I thought of was Royce Gracie when he had like the gi on. Yeah, he wasn't playing. You know, when I first started watching UFC, I got into UFC probably around 94, 95 was when I first started watching UFC. And Royce Gracie, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a weight class, because Dan Severin, you know, he had like the super fight, you know, championship, because it was just like everybody, you know, everybody just went against each other. And Dan Severin was, you know, he was a part of that, you know, mid-90s super fight type of UFC before they start getting classes, you know, weight classes. And that's the first, like I said, the first person I thought of was Royce Gracie. So it would be a super fight deal. And like I said, again, it wouldn't necessarily be for a title. If Jones goes up to 230, 235, that might take out some of his quickness away, but of course it'll build some strength. Even then, he'll still be about 45 to 50 pounds lighter than Brock. So, and Brock is definitely one of those people to use his, you know, use his weight for a advantage. So.
People may not understand is that with us being former athletes, we used to be in one type of weight. You know, if you weigh 205 or 210, and you're gaining that extra 25, 30 pounds of muscle, then you have to adjust your style, because now you're heavier. And a lot of people may not be able to necessarily adjust to it. So, you know, Jones could go ahead and gain an extra 30 pounds of muscle, and then it actually could negatively affect his whole style. You're not being able to handle all of the extra muscle weight. So, like you said, we're saying the same way when a lot of wrestlers to the cut weight. or fighters can cut weight 20, 30 pounds, and then you may, you know, steep down to a lower weight class and not be able to handle, you know, being lower left. So,
right.
What do you have to say? But it's, I mean, UFC right now, they need more. You definitely need more value to go on.
Yeah.
So that's a super fight. It is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely will be very, very interesting. And the very fact that John Jones Brock Lesnar fight deserves one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So, next trivia question is, who did Kurt Angle defeat at SummerSlam 2005? Thank you, Steve, for enjoying the show. Thank you very much. Who did Kurt Angle defeat at SummerSlam 2005? Once again, who did Kurt Angle beat SummerSlam 2005? Got a suggestion of talking about the quote greatest 30 for 30 that's coming up, and that would be the person named Ric Flair. So you know, one of my favorite, actually, he's still my number one right now. He's still my top wrestler right now, and that person would be Jay Lethal. And Ric Flair, a bit of a woo off. So let's play a little bit of that. I played this a little bit when I had Jay Lethal on the show, but this is one of the funniest things going on in just the past 5-7 years. This is the funniest thing. So let's hear a little bit of this.
Nature Boy is not going to be happy about this. Speaking of Jay Lethal, interrupted Ric Flair and his Fortune faction.
Woo!
I had the privilege to be on the road, up and down, late nights, parties, kissing the girls, and making them cry. With the Horsemen, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, are no horsemen. That is disrespectful to me and this wrestling business. Mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Why it's you, Nature Boy, not that piss-head Jay Lethal. Hey! That's right.
What?
Come on, brother. Let's see what you got.
You can
see it rolling. Let's see what you got. Come on.
Throw all your clothes away, Rick.
Come on. Let's see what you got.
You want to see something?
Yeah.
Let me show you something.
I want to see it.
My player's got one shoe on, by the way.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Watch this.
He is driving Fred nuts.
Right there is the greatest thing
you can
have ever seen.
You can't be me. You can't do me. And I'm cutting you off right now. And I'm cutting you off right now.
Woo.
That's my line. That's my line.
That is probably the funniest. Probably got me top five funniest skits.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Watched that a few days ago on YouTube. Lethal was spot on. Lethal was absolutely spot on.
That's my line.
You know, so funny. I was talking to him when he came to ROH came here in my hometown a few months ago, and it was after I interviewed him on my show, and we were just, Jay Lethal and I was just going back and forth about that's my line. It was absolutely hilarious. So. Yeah, it was fantastic. Ric Flair, 30 for 30, November 7th. So, you know, be sure to watch that. That should be very, very good. So, yeah, Eugene was the correct answer for the SummerSlam 2005 Triple H opponent. Let's stay with 2005.
What was the stipulation of the ladder match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero? SummerSlam 2005, what was the stipulation of the ladder match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero? So the main roster talent reportedly may be heading back. Some of the main roster talent may be heading back to NXT. So this will be very interesting. I wrote a piece on WrestleZone.com every once every week or two. I have this segment called the Featherstone Files, and I write that. Just some things that are on my mind, some inboxes, some tweets that people give me. You know, I usually write something about that, and I really had to write something about that because that was just absolutely ridiculous to me as far as the logic behind just calling people up in the first place. You know, it's just like it's kind of the WWE saying, "Oops, you know, we kind of made a mistake," and. You know, but the good thing is the mistake that they had, the mistake that they realized, they're willing to admit it, and that's good. That's good. Instead of having a bunch of people on the main roster just being there for, you know, for no reason. And, you know, I wrote
Todd Dillinger.
Yeah, Dillinger. You know, I wrote a few names, probably about eight or nine names I wrote. On the piece that just really should go back. I mean, the very, very first person I thought of without any question at all was certainly Apollo Crews.
Oh, man.
Should go back without question. I mean, the Titus Worldwide is helping him to an extent. But at the same time, I mean, just it's. I mean, he needs to go back so badly
that he needs
to revive his character. You know, he needs some type of character. The Titus Worldwide is not really helping him too much. It's bringing something out of him, but at the same time, they pulled him back so early. They pulled him up so early. They debuted. It was like in the middle of Raw. It was no announcement. And as he already has very generic music, that music came on. It was just so generic, and it was just basically dead on arrival. And Apollo Crews has to go back to NXT to really earn his stock up.
Man, what would you do with Apollo Crews? Small black out here, man.
I mean, good guy, he's
talented, but as far as charisma. You put them with Titus O'Neil, they were just like a bunch of raisinettes together, and the Titus Worldwide helps to a point. Like you said, you got to give them a character. You know, Vince likes, especially with the Black Buster, they got to dance, they got a second job, they got to do something. So hopefully, like you said, Apollo Crews would be one. Brian Myers, what has he done? He showed up and kept, you know, keep losing. Todd Dillinger is over, you know, one of the most over new talents in WWE today, but like you said, he shows up and loses.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We got some people saying the Ascension, Apollo Crews, of course. I mean, that's definitely my choice. That was just absolutely horrible. I got a hard one for you. I got a hard question for you all. Custody of Dominic is the correct answer. Good job. We got someone talking about the WWE cutting costs. That's another big topic that's been going on this week as far as no cutting costs. I noticed that a few weeks ago when Lesnar stopped doing pyro for AJ. And I'm like, okay,
everyone.
If you want to stop doing pyro, you said who else?
Everybody. You start doing pyro for everything. Entrance music.
Yeah.
The only thing Nakamura has to defeat pyro.
Yeah. He has the right back pyro.
He started with DDP. Remember when DDP used to come on the Nitro before they actually gave him pyro?
Yep.
Remember you used to hear that bang and you never actually saw it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. What happens when Batista returns? No, boom, boom, boom. with the pyro, staying with the pyro line. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Batista's going to return anytime soon. There was some talks earlier this year that he wanted to come back based on having a program with Triple H. You know, I don't think anybody would be interested in the program. But I mean, here's the thing: I like Batista. I was a huge fan of Batista, probably 07, probably 05, 06, around that time. I was a big fan of Batista when he was a babyface on SmackDown. You know, I love the entrance, the kind of the cannon type of bazooka, you know, entrance when he did. That was fantastic. I also like the heel spotlight Batista. That was really cool as well. Toward the latter part of his run back.
That was the best part.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love
it. Definitely
loved it. I was a big fan of that. Yeah, I got some comments here. Close friendship. There's still a close friendship with Hunter. That's true. But, you know, again, you know, Triple H understands that there's – Vince is about money, you know, and that's the big thing. I mean, you know, I've heard many stories. I've been to live Q&As with people. You know, I was at a live Q&A with Sean Waltman, X-Pac, and, you know, him and Hunter are really cool. But there were some times where he helped them out. He really encouraged them while he was down on the dumps, but of course he's just not going to give him a job, you know. And Batista's well off, man. He's doing fantastic. He's doing a really good job. There was just an article that came out a day or two ago of him getting into another big movie, you know, and you know now it's the Avengers. Of course, you know, his
the
series.
Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, 1 and 2. So, you know, he's doing really, really good in the acting role. That's really awesome.
I don't forget Blade Runner. He's in the Blade Runner. I don't know if it's a sequel or prequel, but he's in a Blade Runner movie too. That's coming up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Am I stumping some people? Again, the question is, who won the women's championship at SummerSlam 1995? Who won the women's championship at SummerSlam 1995? So that's a bit of a challenge right there. Got some. Someone said he's a one-off. Would it be good for a one-off? I don't know, man. You know, Batista kind of ruined his stock in the WWE. His 2014 run, winning the Royal Rumble, and it was just
Batista.
It was bad news. Yeah, Batista.
It was ripping his jeans. James T's
wrong. Right. Right. He couldn't even sit down in the sit down power bomb because his jeans were too tight.
Right.
And like I said, man, I like Batista but at the same time and the thing is, I mean he said that he didn't want to come in as a babyface. So can't really blame him. So
yeah, he blamed WWE. He told him that he didn't want to come with a baby face that was going to be born. And David, he was just determined to do it their way.
Yeah, exactly. The correct answer is Bertha Faye. Absolutely. Good job. I got a question.
Anybody listening, when it comes to the women in WWE, around that year, the options really wasn't that big.
No.
It was Bertha Faye, Alondra Blaze, and Bo Nakano. That was really the whole women's division.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. It wasn't, I mean, even,
The women's division in 94 and 95 in WWE, those are the days bigger and more exciting than the tag division.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of tag division, I got a question here. What I think of the new Usos? I like them. I like the heel run and that they're doing right now. See, here's my thing of liking heels. You know, as a traditionalist, you know, I cheer for the faces and boo the heels typically, but there's some good heels that are. To me, when I like a heel, that means that they're doing a really good job at being a heel. Like for instance, I like Baron Corbin because, Miz is great. Miz is a great heel because people still boo him. He still does his job very well. And, you know, someone like the Usos who are doing they're getting heat. And that's what you do. As a heel, you get heat. And the Usos are getting heat, and I think they're doing a fantastic job. And I'm a big fan of that, and that's the reason why I like it. So you know, I'm cool with that. And I think the Usos, I think this is probably the best run that the Usos has had in the past few years. Now I like the Usos as baby faces, but it started to get stale. I wasn't a big fan of the dance. That started to get really stale.
Nobody understood what the hell they were saying. Nobody understood what they were saying. No one did.
Bullside more. I mean, that's their heritage. I'm not going to knock their heritage. That's their thing. But it didn't translate to the audience. People just started. And it got to the point where people were starting to boo when they would do that. So that's oh no, someone asks if Vince may suffer from CTE. Oh no. somebody else said I didn't even know women wrestled up until China when they were a kid. There were some good names before China. I mean, you had Medusa, of course, Alundra Blaze, Mae Young, of course, the Fabulous Moolah. During the Attitude Era, you started to get like the Sables. Of course, you still have LaShawn, so.
Can we give a shout out? Can we please give a shout out to the great late Selena Vachon? She does not get enough praise, and she's the first woman to be featured in a WWE video game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The original Monday Night Raw, and it was in '94 on Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. That convinced you to do it.
Absolutely. Next question. This is a funny question. Why did Ken Shamrock snap in his match against the British Bulldog? 1997.
Oh, wow.
Why did Ken Shamrock snap during his match against the British Bulldog? So, speaking of the Great Khali, someone mentioned the Great Khali. Yeah, he looked like he gained some pounds, and
is that possible?
Here's the thing with Khali. Like when Khali was 06, 07, around that time, when Khali was there, he wasn't in terrible shape. I mean, he was just a wide type of person. You know, I work out. I was a personal trainer for 10 years. But they're still like I'm a big guy from a muscular standpoint, but I don't have like an odd type of body. Like he was tall and just like the top half of his body was just wide, just real wide. But going toward like his hips, it was smaller. You know, like he wasn't, he wasn't doughy, but now, he just kind of let it all go, unfortunately. he let it all go. Somebody said stick legs.
It's got to be like so big, and then it got super small from the waist down.
Yeah. The same old skinny black pants, some church slacks, and you went into the ring.
Yeah.
It's like some stuff. Him and Braun Strowman, him and Braun Strowman have the bag at the same time.
Yeah. The arms up. Oh. Yeah. So they're talking about, like, so Kali was just a one-off. And, you know, I was thinking that they would do something between him and Orton. You know, we'll talk about here in a moment as far as just, you know, SummerSlam and how that kind of, you know, had how that kind of led into just a random SummerSlam match. It's not bad on paper, but just a randomly put, you know, SummerSlam match. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, let's get to these trivia questions. Yeah. So Shelton Benjamin, what's the deal with Shelton Benjamin? That's a question that was asked. I know a wrestler who's really cool with Shelton Benjamin, and he's still doing some indies, and the WWE is, from what I've heard, there's still some interest, but the interest is not nearly as much as it was, when they kind of did the split, because the point is, the thing with Jinder Mahal, like, Jinder Mahal wasn't originally scheduled to be a world champion. You know, they hired a bunch of people back. You know, Curt Hawkins is the best example of, like, him, Jinder. Shelton wasn't necessarily going to be like a jobber per se, but he was just going to be just kind of like filler, just kind of like add to the depth of the roster. He wasn't necessarily, I mean, from what I've heard, he wasn't scheduled to be, you know, any kind of upper echelon type of name. You know, Curt Hawkins was hired back to just basically put over people. Jinder Mahal,
he did nothing.
You know, you saw that with him on Raw. Jinder Mahal he put over people. So, and then the India market came in. That basically gave him just a go. They gave him a pass to just become world champion, WWE champion. So that's with Shelton Benjamin. As far as the trivia question, he made him eat dog food. That is exactly the correct answer. So great job. Question: who were the members of the Rest in Peace match, SummerSlam 93? All right, so real quick, let's get to Raw and SmackDown review. We will be right back. Your Raw and SmackDown reviews, as well as everyone. There's a bunch of comments as far as the Raw and SmackDown review, and I'll read some of those as well. Evan, what do you have?
Raw actually surprisingly main evented with Big Cass and Big Show, which you got to give Raw credit for. They're doing different things. I didn't think Raw wasn't bad. Jason Jordan, gosh, his voice is horrible. His theme music sounds like a character select screen on like a Xbox game.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly what I thought about. I thought of Nintendo or Sega. It's exactly what I thought.
His wardrobe is just so off. Overall, I thought Raw was pretty decent. The triple threat match went well. Of course, you want Reigns wins. The segment with Kurt Angle calls excuse small. I'm sorry, he still has. Kurt Angle's name is still in that Royal Rumble 2003 font that they used, but Raw wasn't bad. I actually enjoyed Raw. The tag team back and forth with the Hardys, Sheamus and Cesaro back and forth with Rollins and Ambrose, I enjoyed that. The tag team back and forth with the Hardys and Revival and Anderson and Gallows. So overall, I give Raw about a B. You know, I mean,
did actually have the highest of viewership in the past 3 months. And yeah. I like the old school. Mommy, you remember this Featherstone, the old school early 90s WWE, late 80s when you had Strowman, Joe, and Reigns did their little promos and their music. Like, I'm going to beat Brock Lesnar. And he had a little music in the background. And so yeah. it was kind of like a good throwback of yesteryear WWF. I really enjoyed that. SmackDown, yeah. I did not get a chance to watch really, but I did get word that Nakamura did defeat, mm-hmm. which I'm glad because everybody just swore Captain Four Kids was going to win. Which I probably mm-hmm. propelled Cena from Inside News. I've got Cena's going to be going to Raw after SummerSlam. So,
yeah.
My thoughts.
Yep. There is an article that I wrote that stated that the reason why they pushed up Cena versus Nakamura was because of Raw, of Cena going to Raw in the fall. So, there, you know, Cena at one point in time, Cena was slated to win, but you know, there were some reports that just came around the past few days that said that Nakamura was going to take it. So, it was good to see. I still wish that the match would have had more build to it. I just didn't like that type of, it was just an announcement and just, it didn't have really a big fight feel. People kept saying dream match, dream match, dream match. I was a big fan of, you know, just Nakamura versus John Cena on paper. You know, that it's great. It's great to sound, but even with any match though, you need the proper build for it. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, Austin walked out, you know, back in 2002, 2003, because, you know, he was supposed to lose just on a regular match, a regular Raw against Brock Lesnar, you know, and that's one of the things that you need build. I mean, Booker T said the same thing. He refused to, you know, put people over because there was no build. You need a build. You need to
build,
you know,
this, right.
person has spent so much time in the business and has, you know, became such an amazing character, got a bunch of stock. It doesn't make sense for him to just lay down and put someone over. You know, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And I'd imagine that John Cena has a lot to do with, you know, saying, hey, let's just put Nakamura over. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I would have much rather saw. Just imagine if this would have been the main event or one of the main events for Battleground. You know, that match on the pay-per-view on the network with some build to it would have been much better than, you know, Nakamura versus Corbin and Cena versus Rusev. Both of those matches were, to me, forgettable. So, but if they would have had Nakamura versus Cena, it would have made more sense.
Built that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And that pay-per-view was just terrible. And that would have put some type of life into it. Yeah. As far as some comments here, you got the other thing about Cena going back to Raw. I think it's good. I want to see Cena Reigns. Some Raw and SmackDown comments here. Where's Sin Cara? We got someone who just asked that. Where's Sin Cara? he's from what I know, he's still doing like some. Because I think what Superstars are gone or Main Event gone. One of them Superstars or Main Event. He's still doing the one that's still up. I think he was in a little bit of issues recently, but nothing major. But unfortunately, Sin Cara hasn't been relevant since he was a Místico. Adam Cole coming to NXT. I think so. I think at the end of the day, we will see Adam Cole in NXT. From what I've heard and from reports, you know, have affirmed for a while, WWE kind of had a freeze on ROH talents because there was some, you know, issues going on with WWE still talking to, you know, ROH. You know, talent while they were in contract. And of course, that's, you can't do that. It's a breach. But you know, they brought in, you know, some names, you know, like when they brought on Roderick Strong, recently they just brought in Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Donovan Dijak. I mean, he's been gone from ROH for a little while now, but bringing him in, and so I think they'll bring in Cole. I think Adam Cole would be a really good addition to NXT, because NXT needs they need some star power.
Yeah, they need some faces.
Like people like Oney Lorcan, I like him, but he just doesn't reek of, you know, star power yet. Like heavy machinery or really.
This doesn't fit the mold or like the face of NXT.
I don't know. Yeah, they're really pushing Aleister Black to be like the guy. You know, I mean, I followed him when it was Tommy End. I don't know. I'm not sold on Aleister Black as like the face of NXT yet. I'm not. I just as a baby face too. You know, I think everything about his character is just like kind of dark. I think that if he was more of a heel, I think that would help. But I'm not sold on it. I'm not sold on Aleister Black being the person. I mean, very good in the ring. I mean, I like his ring work for sure. But from a character standpoint, I'm not sold on that. Let's see. Mystique and Mysterio, Omega and Okada are never coming. They would be restricted. Perhaps Omega. Okada is the John Cena.
In Japan.
Yeah, he's the John Cena of New Japan. So I definitely don't
see. He's not going anywhere.
No, I don't see Okada going anywhere anytime soon. Okada is like the man in New Japan. He would be demoted just substantially if he touched foot in NXT. I mean, or WWE. Of course, we saw with Nakamura. Nakamura was like the guy. I mean, Tanahashi, Nakamura, and Okada are like those three have for the past 10 years. They have been like the faces of New Japan. But I mean, they now Nakamura is starting to get some steam, but it took a while. You know, he came. What his debut match was the Takeover before. Last year's Mania, wasn't it? Or
yeah, I think it was. It's something like that.
It was a Takeover before. Yeah, because Sami Zayn had the ladder match the night after. What did Nakamura do? What did he do this year? Why wasn't he on WrestleMania this year? Because was he on Takeover?
He was hurt.
Yeah, him and Bobby Roode. Him and Bobby Roode. So. He debuted the Takeover and Takeover Dallas when he went against Sami Zayn last year. I believe that was his debut. So it's been almost a year and a half, and now they're starting to give him some steam. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. Thank you for all of real quick. I got a topic here. What I think of Moose being with GFW for 3 years. I think it's probably just a money thing. They see Moose, GFW see Moose as one of their top guys. Understandably, I'm a big fan of Moose. I've had him on my show before, talked to him.
I did see a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, just really good guy. Really, you know, you could tell he's really hungry for the business. And that's one thing I think that GFW is noticing. I don't think that Moose feels that he would have had that type of that type of advantage if he went the WWE path, because it probably would have been much longer. And I think this is good for Moose too, because I think that this increases his stock for when WWE wants him. And I think when WWE wants him again, his stock will increase. So I think that this is really good for Moose. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get, without further ado, I think we're all set. We're going to talk about some SummerSlam, just grading SummerSlams. 2006-2010. Before we got a couple, let's do a couple more trivia questions. My thought on Raw, Jason Jordan, like the Miz TV, just it was terrible. Jason Jordan really needs to revive his. He needs some charisma. His in ring work is really good too. Really good. I mean, I'm very impressed with his in ring work. However, his mic work and his theme song is just DOA. It's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. You know, SmackDown was in my home state. It was good. I like SmackDown. Looks like they're trying to do some things with the Aiden English. We had a question earlier in the show on Facebook Live as far as what happened to Shane and Owens. Well, it looks like Shane is the guest referee, so that's kind of the Shane Owens type of route. It looks like they might even do Shane Owens for like a next big pay-per-view, perhaps Survivor Series. I think that would probably be a decent spot for them. I mean, that would be 3 months out of SummerSlam, so perhaps Kevin Owens feels that, you know, he got gypped by, you know, Shane, and, you know, that they do that route. So, Orton, and real quick, Orton and Rusev, I'm glad Nakamura won, so I will say that. But just real quick, Randy Orton versus Rusev, to me, that was just so left field. I didn't understand that. I mean, it was how they set it up was okay. When they had Randy Orton, you know, Rusev said, nobody can beat me. And it's funny because Rusev missed his cue because when his music came on, he did the, oh, I'm surprised, who is this type of deal. And it was his own music. And then he started celebrating. And then Orton's music came on. He did the exact same facial. So it was like, he missed that cue right there. But it was cool how they did it. Kind of, but it was just, I mean, it's just such a left field match. They're basing it on, I've never, you know, you've never beat me. So, that's a bit odd to me. So we'll see.
Orton just need to go home and just take a nap. The past year and a half, it's like, what have you done?
Yeah, I'd say even more than a year and a half, but that's another show. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, for another week, we'll be right back.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
So let's ask another question. Who were the participants of the Intercontinental Title ladder match at SummerSlam 98? That was actually a really, really good match, by the way. A fantastic match. Who were the participants of the Intercontinental Championship ladder match at SummerSlam 1998. All right, so let's start with SummerSlam of 2006. Decent show. We had the results. We had Chavo defeating Mysterio, Big Show defeating Sabu, Hogan Orton. Hogan just couldn't put over Orton. Flair defeating Foley in a quick match. Batista defeating Booker by DQ. DX defeating the McMahons, and Edge defeating John Cena. So what would you grade that? Also the people on Facebook Live. What grade would you give 2006?
That SummerSlam overall get about a B. It was an overall good show. You know, pause on Mysterio coming back, wearing all that silver paint around his body and rubbing off on Chavo and all his paint coming off on the ring. Hogan also showed the second year in a row. He just can't put people over. He didn't put Michaels over. You know, he didn't put Orton. But, overall, good pick with Vito.
Yeah. Triple H versus The Rock was the answer for the match, and I think I asked one about 2003. Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez was the members of the Rest in Peace match.
Oh my gosh!
That was very interesting.
Predecessor to Kyle Lee.
Oh yeah, that was that was bad. Yeah, that was real bad. All right, so let's get to 2007 real quick. I give 06 a B minus. I think it was a solid pay per view. All right, real quick, 2007, Kane defeating Finley, MAGA defeating Carlito and Mr. Kennedy. We had Rey Mysterio defeating Chavo. In the second year they went against each other. Beth the Phoenix won the women's championship number one contenders match by last eliminating Michelle McCool. John Morrison defeating CM Punk for the ECW championship. Triple H defeating King Booker. Batista defeating Great Khali. His second disqualification, second consecutive SummerSlam disqualification win for the, but he wasn't champ either time, and he won both times for disqualification. Interesting stat there. Cena defeating Orton for the WWE Championship. I thought that was a really good match. What you got on that one?
I got that block a B minus. You know, pay per view was okay. You know, it didn't suck. It was good.
It looks like one of the readers were there. Brian was there in D.C. To see Hogan and HBK and Eddie Ray in hometown. I give this B minus again. Yeah, I give this B minus. All right, so let's get to 2008. This was MVP defeating Jeff Hardy, Blair Morella defeating Kofi Kingston, Mickie James. It was like mixed championships. Matt Hardy defeating Mark Henry. How about a DQ, or as Tony Atlas would say, Mock Henry. CM Punk defeating JBL. Triple H defeating Great Khali. Speaking of Great Khali.
Khali again.
Batista, Cena, and defeating Cena, and the Undertaker defeating Edge, Hell in a Cell. I give this a B plus for me. I think it's a solid SummerSlam.
Yeah, I agree. About B plus.
Yeah, B plus.
3 years of Great Khali.
Yeah. All right, real quick, let's get to 2009. Really, really, really quick. We had Zach Tart, Rey Mysterio, Dolph Ziggler. IC title, MVP defeating Jack Swagger, Jericho defeating Crime Time, Kane defeating Great Khali. There's Khali again. DX defeating Legacy, Christian defeating Jerome Regal for the ECW, maintaining the ECW championship. Orton defeating Cena again for the WWE Championship, and CM Punk defeating Jeff Hardy, TLC match, winning the World Heavyweight Championship. What do you have for this one here?
C plus.
C plus. I agree. All right, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, we have, what do you give 2010? Team WWE defeating the Nexus, Kane Mysterio, Orton Sheamus, Big Show, Straight Society, Melina, Lisa Fox, and Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston.
Oh, that's a C.
Yeah.
That was just a heavy SummerSlam.
It was a C as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. Very, very fun. Thank you so much, WrestleZone.com, Facebook Live crowd, for sticking with us, man. Definitely sticking with us and having a very, really, really good time. I really, really enjoyed myself. Thanks to Evan Tech Proud again for being awesome co-host. Of course, Bill After. Thank you so much for Bill After joining us for
Brother
the show
Bill.
Tonight. Absolutely. Thank you all for giving the grade of you have of what you have of the SummerSlams. We got some comments here. Pretty awesome, Miz. That's true. 2000 is a huge blank for me. Awesome show. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless and have a good night.